Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to the newly revamped The Early Line, live right here on Sports Grid and Sirius XM Channel 159. I am Ben Stevens. Donnie Wrightside is still here on The Early Line. Our first maiden voyage, our debut together to get things going here on this new week following a long holiday weekend. Welcome back to the grid and welcome back to TEL. DRS, a sincere welcome to you, a welcome to me, I guess. This is your territory. I'm very glad to be here. I'm very glad we are together, co-hosts in these chairs for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. DRS, let's get it rolling here on TEL.
Let's have some fun. I'm glad you just explained the point of the show. So I will be here for 3 hours. It looks like I'll be here Monday through Friday. And this is the first day of school. I had to, get on the bus this morning? I had to get into middle school, you know, get the little locker worked out, find our new desk, and away we go. Away we go, man. Let's do it.
A new school year for a ton of people, DRS. A new day for us. Again, this is the newly revamped The Early Line. If you miss Kevin Walsh, do not worry. He is coming your way later on the Spiz Grizz Network on the newly revamped Game Time Decisions starting at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Gabe Morenci going late night. Sports Rage late night starting at 10 p.m. Eastern. But DRS and I are here for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern, live right here on the grid. And DRS, why keep the people waiting? Let's dive into week number one of the college football season in 2023. A five-day consecutive stretch, DRS, dating back to Thursday, where we had a college football game at least once per day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, including last night's nightcap to end out week number one of this 2023 college football season. And at Wallace Wade Stadium in Durham, North Carolina, DRS, Duke makes history, knocking off an AP top 10 opponent for the first time since 1989. Duke, the dominant side, as they take care of ninth-ranked Clemson 28-7. DRS, the Blue Devils winning outright as a 12.5-point underdog.
I was impressed last night by Duke overall, but also Dabo Swinney, when he was talking after at the press conference, said basically, Ben, that was a weird game. And if you looked at the box score and just saw the score itself, you would say, no, you got blown out. But my goodness, this too looked like a true opening game for Clemson on the road, trying to break in a new starting quarterback here for the season. It didn't go their direction. And sometimes you can say maybe up in smoke after one game for Clemson, losers of three of their past four games now, Ben.
A difficult stretch for the Clemson Tigers. We quickly welcome in our Sports Grid Radio audience here. Hour number one of The Early Line, live right here on Sports Grid, Sirius XM, Channel 159, and all of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold as well. It's the new edition of the new Early Line. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. Thank you for joining us to open up this new day, a new week, a new show, live right here on The Early Line. All right, DRS, elsewhere around college football, Monday night, the finale of week number one, as ninth-ranked Clemson goes down. But on Sunday night, it was the marquee matchup of the opening weekend, a top-10 tilt, the only ranked versus ranked matchup that we had week number one of this college football season. An eighth-ranked Florida State looks like the better side, hammering the Bayou Bengals, a fifth-ranked LSU, 45-24. FSU, DRS, scoring 31 unanswered points to open up the second half before LSU tacks on a late touchdown that made no difference to the final score. Florida State wins by 21 outright as a point-and-a-half underdog, DRS. A little plus money on that money line as well.
explosive by Florida State. And let's also not forget, this game was 14-7 LSU early in that football game. And then FSU hit the gas pedal. Travis looks sensational in the pocket. Playmakers all over the place. This is what we anticipated from Florida State coming into 2023.
Five total touchdowns, DRS, for Florida State's quarterback, Jordan Travis. He threw for more than 340 yards and four touchdown tuds. He ran for more than 30 yards and a touchdown run as well. Five in total, Jordan Travis now the third best price to win a Heisman Trophy in 2023 at +950. So, DRS, those were the games that we had on Sunday and Monday where a ton of attention was paid to, but maybe none more so than Saturday early in the afternoon, the debut of prime time for the Colorado Buffaloes. Deion Sanders, in his debut, stuns the world, winning outright as a 20.5-point underdog in Fort Worth against the reigning national runner-ups in 17th-ranked TCU. Colorado, DRS, an improbable victory, 45-42, again as a 3-touchdown underdog on the road in Fort Worth.
Unbelievable. You're talking about the national championship runner-up last year at home to open up their season, not really knowing what you're going to get out of Colorado. Many people, the naysayers out here, saying Colorado's going to get smoked and this is going to be a tough season overall. I don't know how tough the season overall is going to be, but the eyeballs will be on Boulder, Colorado for the rest of the way. Colorado is here, and they ain't hard to find.
As Deion said, DRS, they ain't coming anymore. They are here. There will be a ton of talk in Boulder over the next 5 days or so before Colorado makes their home debut with Deion Sanders against Nebraska on Saturday afternoon. Shador Sanders, Deion's son, who came with him from Jackson State, a Colorado football program record, 510 passing yards in a single game, 4 touchdown tosses. Dylan Edwards, the young running back who Deion took from Notre Dame, has 3 receiving touchdowns. Travis Hunter, over 110 yards receiving, DRS, played 110 snaps in total on both sides of the football and did not look even remotely winded. His Heisman price, DRS, for Travis Hunter entering the year, 300-1, now 44-1 following week number 1 of the college football season. Now we turn our attention to the Daily Diamond Dash around Major League Baseball, DRS. The week has already begun. An important series in an in-state showdown in Arlington between the Rangers and the Astros. Houston takes the opening game against Texas following a
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line, live right here on this Tuesday on Sports Grid, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Everybody is involved all across the Sports Grid Network. I am Ben Stevens. Donnie Wrightside is here as well. Of course, we are here together as it is the new Early Line Live right here on Sports Grid. So, DRS, let's look back on the opening weekend, week number 1 of this 2023 college football season. The first full weekend in CFB in 2023, where everybody got into the fold, including a top 10 team last night, an ACC opener for number 9 Clemson. But a rude awakening, DRS, to the 2023 season. Ninth-ranked Clemson goes to Duke in the Blue Devils after a 9-win year last year in their first under Mike Elko, get their first victory over a top 10 opponent since 1989. More than 40 years, DRS, since the Blue Devils beat a top 10 ranked team. They hammer Clemson last night, looking like the better side all throughout. 28-7, the victory over the Tigers. Duke wins outright, DRS, as a 12.5-point dog.
Yeah, the more competent side was not supposed to be the Duke Blue Devils, and especially for the Clemson Tigers. You're supposed to be able to make multiple mistakes and still easily dispatch of Duke. The problem in this game overall was not that Clemson looked bad, because, again, I'll get back to Dabo Swinney's press conference. It was just an odd game overall. They moved the football basically at will. They didn't even punt in the second half, and yet they couldn't even score a touchdown. How crazy is that? Because you saw multiple fumbles in the red zone, which were devastating to them. So when you're trying to line up how things broke wrong, look in the first three drives. drives in the second half, three long drives by the Clemson Tigers, a missed field goal, and also two touchdown drives that ended in fumble. You're not going to win football games. But again, it's not as if say, hey, man, you're not going to be Florida State or USC doing that. You still should be able to beat Duke by doing that. A big time win for the Duke Blue Devils. But my goodness, where does this leave the Clemson Tigers? Used to be on the mountaintop of college football. Things starting to look a little bit glim there down.
DRS, when you think about where the Tigers were 2 years ago under DJ Uiagalelei, he was supposed to take over for Trevor Lawrence, who took over for Deshaun Watson, and bring that Clemson offense along with him. Things didn't work out. People pointed at DJU. He looked pretty good for Oregon State on Sunday in a shellacking of San Jose State in his debut with the Beavs. But now the offense still remains the ridicule for Clemson, even under new offensive coordinator Garrett Riley, who was that mastermind, the up-and-coming player, coach in college football, the brother of Lincoln Riley last year for TCU. The game was weird last night, as Dabo said, but not just weird, DRS, unforced errors on behalf of Clemson. The Tigers reached the Duke red zone four different times, and they came away with only a single touchdown, a missed field goal, and two fumbles inside the Blue Devils' five-yard line. The undoing last night, DRS, of Clemson. Inexcusable, frankly, for an offense that needs to take advantage of those opportunities. But DRS, on the other side, what a historic night for Mike Elko and Duke. Again, their first ranked victory over a top-10 opponent since 1989. Who was that team as well, DRS? The Clemson Tigers. It's also the last time that Duke won the ACC, and maybe this is no fluke for Duke, a 9-win team a season ago in the opening year for Mike Elko in Durham. Riley Leonard, the man on your screen who returned for the Blue Devils, 17 of 33, a buck 75 through the air, but was Duke's leading rusher. 98 yards and a long 44-yard touchdown scamper, DRS, that really paced things for the Blue Devils. Duke, a tremendous victory in a field storm because of it.
It was. And how about when you take a look at Duke and just look at Riley Leonard? Look at the key play on there, 44-yard touchdown. If you're just looking at the box score, hey, what did he do? Just get wide open? No, he was actually going to be sacked on third down, which means Clemson would have got the football back, shook loose of two linebackers, and skirted down the right side of the field and outran everybody. A tremendous individual performance, which you're going to need if you want to pull upsets. But again, if I just keep getting back to Clemson here, I'm more worried about Clemson heading into the season than what Duke is going to do. Duke's going to be a quality team, as you said, 9 wins last year, building something, and also a veteran quarterback that comes back. But my goodness, this is a game you had to win if you're Clemson. We'll see where Duke goes this year. Bowl bound, probably yes. But Clemson has a choice here. They can either hit the gas pedal, which they did last year after an early loss, or they can just say, you know what? We better start hitting the transfer portal. We need new coaches in here. I don't know what it is, but sooner or later, programs have to start coming back down to earth. Maybe Clemson's doing that now.
You have to evolve and adapt, certainly in the changing times of college football. Dabo Swinney has been hesitant to hit the transfer portal to get some of those offensive playmakers. And you would think if any program in college football would be on the forefront and in the transfer portal to add to their talent roster, it would be the likes of Clemson. Not under Dabo Swinney. That has been a huge issue for the Tigers, who entered the year, DRS, 20-1 to win a national championship. 120-1 now is the price on the Tigers following the opening defeat at the hands of Duke. Why? Because the margin of error for Clemson has grown so exponentially small, losing the first game of the year. If you have one loss, that's bad enough. But the fact it happened, DRS, in an ACC game, even worse. The Tigers have won the ACC 7 of the last 8 years. They entered 2023 as the slight favorites in front of Florida State, but the price now on Clemson, 5-1 to win the ACC. The favorites, the Florida State Seminoles, because to the opposite of Clemson, DRS, Florida State wildly impressive on Sunday evening in a top-10 tilt against fifth-ranked LSU in Orlando. Florida State scoring 31 unanswered points to open up the second half. They win 45-24 outright as a point-and-a-half underdog. DRS, what impressed you most about the Seminoles on Sunday?
It was Jordan Travis, and Jordan Travis impressed me last year already for FSU. So this wasn't a surprise coming into it because we thought FSU would be a really quality college football team. And I love the fact that you test yourself right off the bat. No cupcake here. Let's just get right after and play a top 10 opponent in LSU. Was it a de facto maybe home field advantage for the Seminoles playing in Florida? Maybe so, but my goodness. 23 of 31 for Travis, 342 yards, four touchdowns, and one interception. And in that game, I loved it even more because I went to the FanDuel Sportsbook and said, you know what?
Yeah.
This makes some sense. Let's go over 1.5 touchdown passes for Jordan Travis. And I even used a profit boost, got me to plus money, gets those two in the first half. Unbelievable performance by FSU. Yeah. But I got to tell you, I'm not saying we saw 45 points to go up on LSU, but I expected a good performance, and we got one from FSU.
Certainly so. Florida State now in the last two season openers against the Bayou Bengals, a perfect 2-0. Jordan Travis's price now, DRS, to win that Heisman Trophy, the third best in college football, only behind Caleb Williams and Michael Penix Jr. of Washington. It's plus 950 for Travis. Five total touchdowns. Keon Coleman in his debut for FSU, the transfer from Michigan State. Three receiving TDs as well. On the other side, DRS, the thing that stood out to me about this game entering was not only a 1.5 spread in favor of LSU, but the fact we had a rematch this year. But unlike last year, when both the Tigers and the Noles entered with win totals of 6.5, this year there was expectation. Florida State and LSU win totals of 9.5 respectively. LSU was seen as a team to maybe hold off Alabama in the SEC West once again. Florida State only a few cents behind Clemson in the ACC. The expectation met by Florida State, not so much for LSU in the opener, DRS.
Yeah, and Coach Kelly's going to have a lot of questions to answer after that one. Just can't yell at your players and say it's all their fault. That was an embarrassing performance on opening night. It's no shame in your game, Ben, if you lose to a top-10 opponent. But you can't get shellacked by a top-10 opponent here to start your season. I want to see how LSU turns this around. But more importantly, what is FSU now? Looks like they're the leaders of the pack in the ACC now.
Plus 120, Florida State now the favorite to win an ACC title. 12-1 for the Noles, the fifth best price to win a national championship, the biggest move up the board following week number one of the 2023 college football season. By the way, DRS, I have a Duke win total of 6.5. The over was plus money. A good feeling after Monday night. More on the early line up next on Sportsgrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We continue to play Tuesday morning quarterback, looking back on week number one of the 2023 college football season, including the first full Saturday slate of the entirety of 2023. This is the new early line, live right here on a Tuesday on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. Thank you for joining us here on TEL, the newly revamped edition. DRS and I will be here together for the long and foreseeable future, which is a beautiful thing. Donnie, and it seems the Colorado Buffaloes might be here for the long and foreseeable future as well. There was a ton of notoriety, a ton of attention paid to Deion Sanders making his debut at the FBS level as the head man for the Buffs on the road in Fort Worth against the reigning national runner-ups in 17th-ranked TCU. But nobody expected Colorado to really be competitive in the football game, DRS. Neither did the odds makers. The Buffs entered as a 20.5 point underdog against the Horned Frogs. Back and forth we went in the second half. Six lead changes in total, but ultimately, DRS, Deion in Colorado stand on top. 45-42 the victory against TCU to open up the season. DRS, when all the dust was settled in Fort Worth on Saturday afternoon, and Deion had said his things, and Travis Hunter had played more than 100 snaps on both sides of the football, and Shedeur Sanders set records for that Colorado football program in terms of passing yards. What was your main takeaway from Colorado's stunner to start 2023?
The sky is the limit for the Colorado Buffaloes as a program, as long as Deion Sanders is going to be their head coach, to be honest with you, because we didn't know what to expect. We thought they might get hammered in that football game. We thought they might be unprepared, and there was a lot of people that were asking to say, you know what? What is actually going to take place here? What happens if it's 45-3, TCU wins this football game? That didn't happen, and what a credit it was. What a credit it was to Deion, that coaching staff, getting those kids ready to play and believing they can win. And I love the fact that they showed pregame and also at halftime, where Deion basically stood in front of his guys and said, maybe you didn't believe before, but you know you believe now. That was the appetizer. Let's get back out there. And I loved every bit about it, because how can you not believe? Believing is a lot of that, Ben, where it's like, hey, you know what? We're going to get smoked and come back home and maybe try to beat Nebraska. That team was believing the entire all season, and it showed game number one.
DRS, do you believe? Because if you say you don't believe, Deion's never going to come on the early
believe
line
what?
To talk with
believe
us about
what?
The Colorado Buffaloes. You believe?
Believe what, as Ed Werder said. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. DRS, a long time ago, what's his name? Coach Babers for Syracuse. I couldn't remember what his name was. He once said, belief is faith without evidence. By the way, I think we're hearing our producers in our ear, if we could just
love
make
it.
Sure
Let's
those
go.
Mics are clicked off. Dino Babers, DRS, one time, a long time ago, when he became the head coach for Syracuse football, went in front of the Carrier Dome for a Syracuse basketball game and said, belief is faith without evidence. That is what I need from this fan base. Deion Sanders proved that on Saturday, that he was telling his team they believe. We saw the pregame speech that he gave to his team in the locker room. We will have unfiltered access to the Colorado football program, unlike many other coaches in the sport that try to keep everything out. Deion wants it to be a show. Deion wants it to be a parade. That is how he runs his football program, and that man has always had belief in himself. 69 new scholarship players, DRS, for this Colorado Buffaloes program over the offseason. Hand up. I thought it was going to take some time for those gentlemen to gel. It did not on Saturday, led by Deion's son, the quarterback who came with him from Jackson State, Shador Sanders. 510 passing yards, a Colorado Buffaloes football program record for the most passing yards in a single game, and 4 touchdown tosses. DRS, that is how good Shador was on Saturday against TCU.
That's the amazing part about it, too, because you take a look at Sanders. We knew he was going to be a good quarterback coming over, but did he have enough weapons here? First of all, to go on the road and throw for 510 yards in your Colorado Division I debut was absolutely outrageous. But also, take a look at the wide receivers. Ben, I don't know if I've ever seen this before. 4 different wide receivers with over 100 yards receiving. That was impressive. And also, these weren't throws where you get a laugh at, like, oh, look at slip screen after slip screen after slip screen. They're breaking long runs. Shador Sanders was placing footballs that guys on Sundays don't make those throws. That's how impressive it was. And also, let's keep in mind, it wasn't as if Colorado came into this game and was up 7-0 and then just ran away with it, where they had a cushion the entire game. This went back and forth, which means Colorado had to answer the bell time and time again on offense, and they continuously did that. It was so much fun to watch. I don't know if anybody was on social media not paying attention to this game, but if you were reading about it, you were putting that game on. It was fantastic to watch start to finish, and Colorado was the superstar in this game.
6 lead changes in that second half, DRS. It seemed like, okay, this has been a lot of fun. The Buffs are putting up some points. They're showing some moxie here to open it up, but TCU is going to prevail. Nope. The Horned Frogs did not have the answer. Colorado did. And not only 4 receivers, DRS, with more than 100 receiving yards, including Dylan Edwards, the talented freshman running back who Deion flipped from Notre Dame, who had 3 receiving touchdowns, but Travis Hunter, who also plays defense, by the way, and might be one of the best defensive backs in all of college football. He had a pick. He had multiple pass breakups, and he had 11 grabs for 119 receiving yards, DRS, with 129 snaps played. DRS, if you weren't watching the game live and you were just following on Twitter and social media, you probably thought Travis Hunter was going to win the Heisman Trophy at the end of Saturday. Well, our associate producer here, Joe Friso, is great at tracking numbers. Entering the year, Travis Hunter had a 300-1 number to win the Heisman. Following Saturday's upset of TCU and all that Hunter did, that price, DRS, now 44-1.
Yeah, forget about him on offense, and he's a tremendous wide receiver and was so in high school. The single play that he made, look, I know he's probably not going to win the Heisman. That's going to be long odds to overcome. The Colorado Buffaloes, I don't think, are going to run the table here. But having said that, if you were going to put one moment on a season, it was the interception down by the goal line. And even the announcers were shocked at it because that is a touchdown. They said 99 out of 100 times. It wasn't a bad route. It wasn't a late read. It wasn't a bad throw. It was an unbelievable play by a defender. If anybody's ever played football before, anticipation is the key to getting most interceptions. I don't even know how he anticipated and then also had the athletic ability to complete the play. A massive swing in that football game. So much fun to watch, but these kids expect to do it on the big stage, and they were doing it, Ben, on the big stage on Saturday.
DRS, what a great point on that arrow route for Chandler Morris out of the backfield. His running back was wide open. It seemed like they were going to walk in for six. Travis Hunter, out of nowhere, dives and makes the interception. A huge moment in that second half when things were getting a little topsy-turvy for the Buffs to stay in that football game. By the way, market movement for Colorado, a team with a win total of 3.5 entering 2023, because let's not forget the situation that Deion Sanders took over in Boulder, a one-win football team a season ago. It's why he had to completely retool the roster. This was the Deion Sanders way, the prime way, and he did. Now the win total, 5.5 for the Buffs. Again, we're talking bowl eligibility, maybe not a national title, but we'll see if they even exceed those expectations, Donnie. Here's the interesting thing. In the home debut for prime time in Boulder, a former Big 8 rivalry as the Nebraska Cornhuskers go to Boulder on Saturday afternoon. DRS, before this year got underway, Nebraska was an 8.5-point road favorite in the early line for that matchup against the Buffaloes. Now, Colorado is a 2.5-point favorite. DRS, the line is flipped by 11 points. Is it too much movement, or does it feel fair?
This is the ultimate sharps and squares and how you perceive and let your eyes, you know, trust you, let your eyes not trust you. And also keep in mind, this isn't one of those swings where we got in games 5 and 6. This is the most intriguing part of the college football season and pro season, games 1 and games 2. Are you as good as we thought you were in game number 1? Can you carry that over in game number 2? Are you as bad as we thought you were in game number 1? And how will you be in game number 2? It's going to be intriguing to watch, but for me being a hardened handicapper here, most people are licking their chops to take the Cornhuskers going into Colorado for this win, because that is a massive. Now, I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just letting you know the thought process behind it. We knew what the line was before that game. How could it shift 10 points or more? I'm going to take the other side. That's the way a lot of sharp cappers think, Ben.
Huskers plus 122 on the money line, DRS. That's how I feel about it. Now, Nebraska on Thursday in their opener on the road against Minnesota. But Colorado gave up a lot of yardage and a lot of points to TCU. The offense was sensational. There was no taking away from Shador Sanders or Dylan Edwards or the multiple wide receivers that had more than 100 receiving yards. And despite what Travis Hunter did to save that Buffs defense, they gave up a ton. Give me Nebraska on the money line. That is how I feel about it. DRS, USC ranked 6th in the country, already has played 2 games, a week 0 victory against San Jose State, a week 1 victory against Nevada, booked as a 39.5-point favorite against the Pac. USC wins 66-14, their first cover as a favorite this year, winning by a 50-burger, DRS, 52. In fact, Caleb Williams, the reigning Heisman Trophy winner, sensational once more.
He was absolutely incredible in that game, and yes, he's probably going to win the Heisman if that team continues to play at that level, but we would like to see some tests in the future, particularly for SC's defense. But how about this, Ben, quickly? 7-7 early on. I say, what is up with this USC defense? They clamped down in that game for sure, though. Good job by them.
Holding Nevada to only 14 points. Caleb Williams, 5 passing touchdowns on Saturday. We'll hit the Major League Baseball diamond. A weekend recap next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line, live right here on this Tuesday. A new week, a new show for you all across the Sports Grid Network. DRS is still here. That is Donnie Wrightside. I joined the fold on TEL. My name is Ben Stevens. The two morning shows coming together to do some great good and some awesome content here on these mornings all across the Spiz Grizz Network. All right, DRS, let's go around the weekend that was, and even a Monday on this Early Line. We'll go around Major League Baseball, looking back on Labor Day weekend, because DRS, less than a month remains in this Major League Baseball regular season. The hunt for October is firmly on. That represented yesterday, as the new midweek series begins between the in-state and divisional rivals. That would be the Astros and the Rangers. In Arlington, Houston takes the opener. We were tied midway through the contest yesterday, DRS, and then the bats really, really woke up for the Astros. 13 runs, a 13-6 victory. DRS, how significant was Houston taking the opening game of this set against Texas yesterday?
Well, I mean, it was massive overall, because when you take a look at them coming into this game, losers of three straight against the New York Yankees and also down 3-0 early against the Rangers, you knew sooner or later they had to turn it on, because that lead in the West, or let's just say being favored in the West, was going to disappear. Yeah. But they turned on the gas. 13 runs, 16 hits in that game. Altuve went wild. You need your superstars to carry you in the biggest moments, and he did that. I said again, I still like the Houston Astros moving forward, but that was a massive win, because then you would look at four straight losses once your division rival, and maybe you start to doubt yourself. Big time win there, at least for the psyche of the Houston Astros and certainly for the standings.
Five home runs the Astros clubbed yesterday, including a duo from Jose Altuve, 13-6. So now the Astros, DRS, in a tie for that top spot in the American League West alongside Seattle. Texas a game behind. The Rangers still would be a postseason team if the season ended today. We'll look at the wild card standings in just a moment. But DRS, here we are in this home stretch of the Major League Baseball season. We have a divisional series this week between the Astros and the Rangers, where Houston is alongside Seattle for that top spot, both a game in front of Texas, and the Astros a -125 divisional favorite. DRS, to see the Astros with a minus money price, -125 to win this divisional crown in the American League West, does that price feel fair to you at this moment with just about 3 weeks remaining?
It does feel right, because you have three teams that are really contending. I thought the Mariners maybe would have slouched off by now, but certainly not. I mean, granted, losers of two straight games, 6-4 in their last 10. Mm-hmm. They're not winners of 9 of every 10 games. It felt like what they needed to get back into it. But if we're looking at the Mariners, Astros, and Rangers, it feels like a true coin toss at this point. I'm just looking at pedigree, Ben, and saying to myself, if we're coming down the stretch, now Eovaldi's coming back for the Rangers. We'll probably talk about that a little bit later today. But if we're looking just at the Astros pedigree, been there, done that, not going to be stunned by the bright lights, and they're used to going on the road where everybody hates them anyway, I'll take that pedigree here for the Houston Astros.
Very nice of the odds makers to include the Angels, but they have no shot of even sniffing the American League West or making the postseason. So, DRS, as you look at it right now, Houston has played 139 games. That means just 23 more remaining. The Astros will play the Mariners before this season ends. Seattle, in fact, ends their season with 10 consecutive games, 7 against Texas, a final series against the Astros as well to end out this year. Speaking of the Rangers, they are still a postseason team. Again, if the regular season were to end today, of course it does not. More than 20 games remain in this MLB campaign, but Texas DRS owns a half game lead over the Blue Jays for that third and final spot. The Astros or the Mariners, whoever doesn't win that division, has a game lead currently over Texas. Tampa still has the second best record in the American League. 3.5 back of Baltimore in the American League East, but 6.5 up for that top spot. But DRS, you can see that third and final American League wildcard spot very up for grabs between Texas and Tampa Bay.
Yes, and also if you're taking a look there at the AL West, you have the Astros, the Rangers, and the Mariners. We're not going to have any of those talks, Ben, like rest versus rust when you get to the playoffs. Oh, they clinched 3 weeks before the season actually ended. These teams are going to be in playoff position for the final 3 weeks of the season, and that might help them carrying momentum in, regardless if they win the division, and at least just make that wild card race. But it feels like the Blue Jays are the only other option to try to climb in there. It should be a fun run all the way to go. And also, they're going to earn it if they want to get in. Between those teams, the Astros, the Rangers, the Mariners, and the Jays, whoever gets in there and is left out, look, no shame in their game. They probably just lost to some really good clubs.
Right. My apologies right there. I said Tampa Bay and Texas for the third and final spot. I meant Toronto and Texas for that third and final spot. The Blue Jays a half game out. DRS, as we look at the American League pennant odds, because there's not really make playoff prices available on the FanDuel Sportsbook at this moment, five teams have a 5-1 number or shorter, led by the Astros, the favorites, the Orioles, the Rangers, the Rays, and then the Mariners, the Minnesota Twins, who have a 6-game lead and put up a 20 spot yesterday for the American League Central, are at 9-1. The Blue Jays have that 7th best price at 11-1. You can see the odds disparity there between the two teams contending for those final few spots in the American League wild card race. That would be the Blue Jays and, of course, the Texas Rangers. Seattle, though, DRS, one of the hottest teams at the end of July. In the early part of August, has cooled down just a tad over the past week or so. The Mariners have dropped 4 of their last 6, 3 of their last 4, losing yesterday in the Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati. The Reds winning 6-3. They scored the first 5 runs of the game in the first 2 innings to outlast Seattle. So now, again, the M's have dropped 3 of 4. Prior to this stretch, DRS, they had won 12 of their last 13 games. DRS, when you look at a Major League Baseball season, these kind of things happen, right? A team gets incredibly hot. They cool off just a tad. It's not that Seattle is on a losing skid and we have to worry about them missing the postseason. They're just regressing slightly in the long 162, even in this compacted portion of the schedule. These things tend to happen.
Yeah, they do tend to happen. But also, if you take a look at the Mariners, you want to be peaking and playing your best baseball late in September. And the questions always come up, did you peak just a little bit early here? Can you turn on the gas for maybe the final 2 weeks if you do hit that lull? And also, let's remind ourselves, the reason they got back into the race, because they were absolutely red hot, and maybe the Houston Astros and the Texas Rangers were stumbling just a bit. If those two teams start to play better baseball and you go into a little bit of a funk, you might find yourself not even in the playoffs at that point. It's very important that the Mariners turn this around as quick as possible, because you can't lose any ground. Right now, they'd be in the playoffs. In 2 or 3 days, they might be out of the playoffs altogether, technically.
A really good point, DRS. The Mariners, again, tied for that top spot in the American League West alongside the Astros. Whoever doesn't win the division is slotted to be an American League wildcard team right now in the second spot. A game up on the Rangers, but the Rangers only a half game up on the Blue Jays. Those three teams still within a game and a half of one another. DRS, in the National League wildcard race, because of the win yesterday, the Reds remain in a tie for that third and final spot alongside the D-backs. The Cubbies up by 3 games now over that third and final team. The Phillies in that top spot, 2.5 games in front of Chicago. But a big victory for the Cubs against a fellow National League wildcard contender, the Giants, yesterday. A shutout for Chicago and Justin Steele. What a performance it was, DRS, for Steele inside the friendly confines. 8 innings of shutout work, only allowing 2 hits, striking out a career best 12 yesterday. Now he is tied, is Justin Steele, for the most wins in Major League Baseball, 16. A 2.55 ERA. It's the second best mark in the bigs, DRS. A performance in a crucial spot from Justin Steele that should provide some optimism for the Cubbies.
Big time, too. And also, you know, coming into the season, maybe you didn't think Steele would be the ace of that staff because Marcus Stroman was having a pretty good season. He gets injured. Now Steele's taking over as the true ace of the staff. And by the way, Cubs are really interesting, man. They got a lot of hot bats in that lineup. When they get going, they can damage any solid pitcher in Major League Baseball. Yeah. I'm still a little bit leery of the overall frontline starting pitcher for the Cubs, or pitching for the Cubs, I should say. But again, the season ended now. The Cubs are in the playoffs. That's all you can ask for. Coming into the season, did we see the Cubs in the playoffs? For me, not necessarily the case, but looks like they're headed there.
And DRS, they seem pretty comfortable, at least, in that second spot in the National League wild card, because the third is very up for grabs and very uncomfortable for 4 teams in the chase. Again, the Reds a victory yesterday against Seattle. Cincinnati and Arizona tied for that third and final National League wild card spot. Miami only a half game behind, as you see there. The Giants only a half game back of the Fish. San Francisco only a game out of that third and final National League wild card spot. So DRS, as has been the case in this home stretch, it's really changed on a daily basis. The National League wild card standings, now it's a firm focus on that third and final spot. Four teams, DRS, within a game of one another for the last postseason bid in the National League.
It's great because these teams are going to be playing each other down the stretch. You can get hot, you can get cold, you can jump guys, and also in the matter of a 24-hour span be in the playoffs and then the next day on the outside of the playoff curve. And the one thing I do like to point out here is the San Diego Padres, 6.5 games back in the wild card. Because you look at the Cubs, Diamondbacks, Reds, Marlins, and Giants, the Padres, the biggest payroll by far, the Padres, the more talented team by far, and yet the Padres aren't even going to sniff the playoffs in 2023.
Still 9 games below 500, as DRS said, 6.5 back. The Giants have dropped 4 straight. It's why they find themselves a game back of that third and final National League wild card spot. It is interesting, though, DRS, as you look at the National League pennant odds, because currently the Giants have a better price than that of the Marlins and of the D-backs to win the pennant, 27-1 on San Francisco. Both the Fish and the D-backs, DRS, 40-1. Again, we don't have make playoff odds at this moment available on the FanDuel Sportsbook, so we use the pennant prices maybe to tell a tale in that National League wild card chase. DRS, do you agree with the pennant odds that a better October outlook for San Francisco if they get there? But maybe that's the biggest question, if the Giants can get there and snap this 4-game skid.
I don't know. Like, the Giants are an interesting team to me all throughout the season because I didn't project them as being a playoff team, but then all of a sudden here they are once again. And they've done that in years past. I do like their frontline starting pitching, but they're 1-9. Not a lot to love about that. If we're rating it, like, it's probably on point with the Brewers at this point, which we know always leans on starting frontline pitching and also great bullpen and maybe some timely hitting. But I take a look at teams like the Marlins, 40-1. So intriguing. Love the retooling they did at the trade deadline. They have the young starting front end pitching that they can handle, and also have an ace in Alcantara who can sort of carry that load. They're an interesting one at 40-1. But as you move up, I'm telling you right now, in a short series, the Brewers will be a tough out, even though I'm not in love with their 1-9. But when you can line up pitchers like that on a day-to-day basis, you have a chance against anybody. So that 13-1 price to win the National League is intriguing to me because I don't like the Brewers, but I think the price is pretty good.
DRS, we did see some movement, by the way, in the National League pennant prices over this long holiday weekend because, of course, there was that marquee series this weekend in Los Angeles, a 4-game set between the Braves and the Dodgers that came to a close on Sunday. A game on Sunday the Dodgers won to avoid a 4-game sweep. The Braves now have a 6-game advantage for what would be the top spot in the National League playoff picture. Atlanta, +110 to win the pennant. Nearly a dollar in front now of the Dodgers at 2-1. The Phils, the only other team with a triple-digit price at +850. The Brewers there at 13-1, the fourth best number. All right, we are going to round out this opening hour by looking at some Grand Slam tennis. We'll do that up next here on the Early Line, live right here on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line, live right here on this Tuesday, all across the Sports Grid Network. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. Now, you might not know this about DRS, but deep down, somewhere in that heart of hearts, he is a huge tennis aficionado. He loves Grand Slam tennis to end out the calendar this year in tennis. DRS, the 2023 United States Open is on to the quarterfinals in both men's and women's action. A huge one at Arthur Ashe Stadium up in Queens today. It is Novak Djokovic against the American Taylor Fritz. Right now, Joker, an odds-on favorite, DRS, to win that men's outright title. He entered with plus money, even entering the weekend, DRS, even money at plus 100. Novak Djokovic looking for history this year at the 2023 U.S. Open. With a title, it would be his 24th Grand Slam championship, the most ever in the Open era.
Be outrageous, too. When we take a look at, like, the women's side, like, oh, it's wide open now. We don't want it to be wide open on the men's side of the bracket. We want Djokovic. We want Alcaraz in that final. And you're right. It started as a plus 110, then a plus 100, now minus 110 as Djokovic continues to put the odds in his favor. And by the way, Ben, you say I'm a big tennis guy. I am. Did you know back in 1989, I beat Andre Agassi in an open qualifier to get to Flushing Meadows up there in Queens? Come on now. Did you know that?
No. Did you actually?
Yeah.
No, you did not beat Andre Agassi in 1989.
I was only 12, but I think I did. Did I? I got to check that, man.
All right, well, we'll go, that's what Andre Agassi had hair as well, DRS. By the way, Novak Djokovic, a minus 850 outright favorite to knock off the American Taylor Fritz in advance into the semifinal to win without dropping a set in straight sets, 3-0. It's minus 110 for Novak Djokovic. On the women's side, Iga Swiatek, the pre-tournament favorite, the number one player in the world, knocked out. So now Aryna Sabalenka is the favorite, 2-1. She's the number two seed. But DRS, how about Coco Gauff? Coco Gauff, can she continue the summer of Coco? Plus 260. We're back in only 55 seconds on the early line.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Less chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.